to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, October 16th, 2022, by Eric Williams.
We have been journeying along with the prophet Jeremiah for the past several weeks in our readings from the Hebrew Scriptures. Jeremiah, the prophet of doom and gloom, who told the people that they were going to be conquered by the Babylonian Empire, who told the king he was sinning, who was deeply unpopular, who was arrested, who was shunned by his people. Today, however, we come to the moment when all of Jeremiah's prophecy has come true. The worst has happened. The Babylonians have conquered Jerusalem. They are exiling all the leaders of the people. The worst that could possibly happen has happened. And now Jeremiah's message changes. Where it has been doom and gloom, now Jeremiah offers to his people who have endured the worst a message of hope and trust and faith in God's promised future. The land is desolate, he says, but God is going to replant the seed of humans and the seed of animals. The land will again be fruitful. The exiles will be brought back home, and God's kingdom will be established. Instead of the old covenant of do's and don'ts that were written on stone tablets and given to Moses, now there will be a new covenant that will be written not in stone, but in the hearts of God's people. A covenant that establishes a new and more intimate connection between God and God's people. This transforming from the inside covenant will make them a new people. As Christians, of course, we see the fulfillment of that prophecy in the coming of Jesus Christ. We even say in our Bible, right, there's the Old Testament, which means the Old Covenant, and then we have the New Testament, the New Covenant, because we believe that in Jesus, this New Covenant was fully brought to life and given to all people, all nations, and all generations. This transformative relationship with God that overturns this list of do's and don'ts, the sense of punishment and destruction. So that's it, right? The new covenant came and everything in the world became perfect. There was never a problem again, and they all lived happily ever after, right? No. You're probably reading the same newspaper that I am, or watching the same news. The world seems to be in a mess. Always seems to be in a mess. Cataclysms everywhere. War and economic distress. And oh boy, we get another election coming up in November. I really enjoy the ads that I get to see during this period, don't you? Yeah, over and over again. They're just so much, so full of light and hope and joy. Anyway. So how do we live? If we are the people of the new covenant, if we have experienced this transforming relationship with God, if this new covenant is in our hearts, and we have experienced that in Jesus Christ through our baptism, through the participation in the church, how do we continue to live in a world that continues to be so broken? That is the question. And that is why Jesus offers this wonderful image of the widow. This widow had a case against somebody, and she went to the judge. And, you know, the judge would have listened to her if she had come across his palm with a little silver. The judge expected a bribe. He was an unjust, corrupt judge. And so this poor widow She didn't have the money to pay the bribe. She only had one thing. And that one thing was stubbornness. She could have been a member of my family. I was thinking about my great aunt Marguerite. I've talked about her in the past. This woman was incredibly stubborn. So she went to Mass every Sunday, because that's what you did as a devout French Canadian Roman Catholic. You did not miss. And then in Lent, she went every day. She never learned to drive. Her husband drove. When he died, she had to walk. So she would walk. It was about 3 miles to church in Buffalo, New York, in the winter. Well, one day she slipped on the ice and broke her arm. She was about 92 at this point. Well, she hadn't yet been to church, so she dusted herself off and she walked the rest of the way to church, and she went to Mass. They had a priest at that time. She couldn't understand a word he said, but that did not matter. She was stubborn and devout. She was going to be there. And then she was walking home back from church, still with her broken arm, and her neighbor saw her weaving a little bit and wobbling, and they stopped and said, "Marguerite, are you okay?" And she said, "Well, I'm okay. I probably broke my arm." And they took her to the hospital and so forth. But that's the kind of family I'm talking about. That's the kind of widow this woman was. She was like, you know, the judge said no. Some of us would say, well, that's it then. There's no justice here. Go home and complain about it. No, she went every day to that judge. And he had to look at her every day. And finally, she wore him down. And Jesus says, and that's how to live in the kingdom of God. Persistence in faith. A stubborn determination to not let the turkeys get you down. A stubborn determination to live as if we are in God's kingdom and to not take no for an answer. That is a key part of the Christian walk. We see it in Jeremiah, who prophesied year after year despite facing enormous resistance. We see it in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, where he says, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or especially when the time is unfavorable. Be stubborn. Do the work that God has given you to do. That is what a transformed relationship looks like in a world that is out of sync with the values that we profess in our Christian faith. So, this is Stewardship Sunday, so I have to make this a stewardship sermon as well. So, here we go. Ready? What does it mean to live into this new world? It means investing ourselves into this promised kingdom that God promises. Let me let you in on a secret, and I hope the stewardship committee doesn't get mad at me. Listen carefully. Stewardship is not really about money. There, I said it. It's not really about money. Stewardship is about investing the whole of our lives in this pursuit of God's kingdom, in this pursuit of really embracing this transformed relationship that we have with God. We were talking in our class, adult class this Thursday, about sacraments. Sacraments, anyone who was there, definition of a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of
spiritual grace.
Gold stars for everybody. Outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Stewardship and the gifts of money are exactly the same. The offertory, which is a key part of our Eucharist every Sunday, we go through this whole ritual, right? We pass around the plates, you put in your, in this church for some reason, I don't know the origin of this, hot pink envelopes. I don't know why, but I kind of like them. Anyway, the hot pink envelope in this church is the outward and visible sign. But the inward and spiritual grace is that you are not just giving your money, you are giving yourself. And when those plates come to the altar, when I lift them up and ask for God's blessing on them, that's you up there. That's you. It's your life, your souls and bodies, a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice is the words of our old Eucharistic prayer. That is what is being blessed and transformed. And like the bread and fish that Jesus took at the feeding of the 5,000, that money that is blessed is multiplied and distributed for the good of God's world and God's people. That's the point of stewardship, to be an offering, a sacrifice of ourselves, that God might take us, all of us, bless, transform, and share that for the needs of this broken world. So this week you'll be getting your stewardship letter, you'll be getting your stewardship card. I'm really pleased that Jane Zellers, wave your hand, Jane. Jane Zellers, our bookkeeper, is here, and at the forum, she's going to do a little workshop. If you wish to learn how to use our online system for pledging and giving, Jane will show you how to do that. It doesn't matter the mechanism, whether it is cash or checks or online giving. The idea is that we, when we do this, when we give or when we pledge, that we are doing this prayerfully and recognizing the deeper symbolic sacramental nature of our gift. That it is ourselves that we're really giving. That's what God wants. I hate to tell you, if you grew up knowing that you were supposed to give a certain amount on Sunday, for a long time the church has taught that a tithe is the standard, we're all supposed to give 10%. Well, God doesn't want 10%. God wants 100%. God wants all of you, your whole life, to be a gift that is given back. God gave it to you. God wants to take it back so that God can return it abundantly for your blessing and for the blessing of the world. So whatever your financial gift is this year, my prayer is that it be a spiritual gift for you as well, and that through that gift, you experience this deeper gift of renewal, spiritual renewal, this understanding of the new covenant that exists with God in your heart and in your life, and that you might have some of that stubborn faith of Jeremiah, of the widow, and of my great aunt Marguerite.